making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop.
There. It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many things that I want to say. You know I like my girls a little bit older. I just want to use your love tonight.
All right then. Noontime hour.
I don't want to lose your love.
Phil Perry is here. Phil Perry brought to you by Stop and Shop, the official supermarket of the New England Patriots. They have everything you need to make your football party a huge success this Sunday. Get details at stopandshop.com. You know, these football guys like Phil Perry.
Here we go.
Hey, this is a compliment I'm about to offer you, Phil.
Okay.
Sometimes they get like,
please go on.
They get shoehorned in like, oh, they can only talk football. That's not true. Phil can talk about anything.
Whatever you need.
A football guy.
Whatever
you need. Football. It happens to be the sport that he covers.
Tell me something about the Bruins.
All right, so here's the question. Would you rather have Nathan Eovaldi?
Don't love JFK on the third line there.
JFK's dead.
JFK's on the third line.
No, that'd be Forsbacher Carlson that he's talking about. Would you rather have Nathan Eovaldi's current contract that he just signed for 4 years, $67.5 million? Or would you rather have Clayton Kershaw, who just signed a three-year $93 million deal. Whose contract and which pitcher would you rather have?
Nathan Eovaldi.
So would I.
Yeah.
And it's not even
didn't
a conversation.
Take me that long.
Kershaw looks like he's about to fall apart.
Given what you saw from Kershaw in the postseason last year and given the amount he's making versus Eovaldi, who has the higher ceiling, would you say, right now?
Over the next
2 years.
Right. Over the next 2 or 3 years. And we'll say three because that's the length of Kershaw's. I'm not going to say that Nathan Eovaldi will have the success that Kershaw has had in the past.
Oh, no.
But going forward, I would say you're a better bet with Eovaldi than you are Kershaw. His velocity has dropped. He doesn't look good. And he sucks in the postseason.
Here's the thing with Kershaw. You may guarantee yourself more games because he has that track record.
And more innings.
The guy is a horse. More innings, more games, more appearances.
As you would with Rick Porcello. Because we were saying, out of the two Red Sox pitchers, which one would you choose?
And so there's value there. But if Eovaldi can be who he was at the end of last year,
$31 million
for,
a year.
For about half the price, I think that's a pretty easy one. I'm going Eovaldi there. So there you go. Here's your baseball 30 seconds.
So would I.
We could do more if you want.
No.
No, it's up to you guys.
Okay. Zoe doesn't want to do that.
That's okay.
It's baseball. Right.
That's Nathan Eovaldi. Baseball. Let's move on.
Okay.
Wow. Yes. Phil's here to talk football.
All right, go ahead, Zoe. Sorry to take those 90 seconds.
What's different this week?
Going into Miami.
Another Miami years.
Oh, well, they're practicing outside. Very interesting.
So they're redoing
the same way as you,
the inside of the field house.
They are resurfacing the field house. They're adding a little bit of turf to the field house. There, if you've ever been in there, there's a long sort of concrete, I don't know, loop that circles the turf there. I think they're trying to cover that thing up.
It's an old field house now. You know, when you sit there and look at it, you look at some of the other structures around the league, that Empire field house is old.
Yeah, so I think they're trying to give it a little bit of a facelift.
Yeah.
And it's just interesting that they happen to be doing it this week. And when something like that happens, Zoe, I'm sure you know, and as anybody out there could imagine, Bill Belichick gives that his blessing. So
I mean,
when he gives that his blessing and it's this time of year and it might be the one week where you would practice inside and jack up the heat and have the guys put all their stuff on.
I mean, it's not like you crank that thing up to 100.
No.
Really get it up to the 70s.
So they've done that in the past, though. I think in the past they felt like, okay, this might help us. Well, now clearly they have abandoned that idea. And so they're just going to say, you know what? Better for us to just practice on grass, even though it's out in the cold. The guys will appreciate that a little bit more in terms of how their joints will feel. It didn't give us any sort of benefit practicing in the heat before. So let's just practice outside. It'll help us long term. And when we deal with the heat down in Miami, we'll just deal with it when we're down there.
The more and more you look at the Dolphins, and I know Gase is trying to protect the Howard issue. And do you think the kid got operated on? The fact he's on crutches, that he's got the boot, that he kind of won't address it, but where he's openly talked about injuries before, just the track record with Gase, you know, in the way now all of a sudden you're going to tighten things up because it's Patriots week. It just seems like this is a spot where they're going to thump him.
When a coach is up at the podium and he's asked if a player's had surgery, and he says we're not getting into that. We're just going to keep that in house.
We're just not going to.
So anyway, it sounds like by all accounts, he's not going to play. Howard's not going to play. Other than the, I think one of his teammates said in the locker room the other day, "Oh, he's fine. He'll be fine. He'll be out there." And it is huge. He's their best defensive player. He might be their best player, period. He leads the league, 7 picks. He had 2 picks against Brady last year. Anything that can make this Dolphins defense a little bit easier to handle down in Miami, the Patriots will take.
So you just did Sean McVay right there. You just did exactly what Sean McVay did.
I'll roll through the whole starting lineup if you want me to.
Here we go.
How unbelievable was that? You know who does even more than that?
Who?
Mike Tomlin. Is he a good football coach?
Right.
Mike Tomlin will give you 1,500 words on the opposition every single week.
It's kind of required of the coach that's playing the team every week to understand who the team is and what they are and what they're made up of.
That was an unbelievable reaction that thing got the other day. And so kudos to Wade Phillips for just crushing anybody who thought that was the greatest thing since sliced bread. It was like, okay, you want me to just stand up here and just rattle off every player on the other team? I can do that too. He called him Trubinsky, I think. But other than that, it was rock solid by Wade.
He screwed up Daniels. It's Chase Daniels.
Yeah, Daniels and Trubinsky.
Yeah.
But other than that, he was right on.
They got Howard and Cohen, 2 backs.
Wade Phillips probably has thousands upon thousands of names just floating around in his head up there from all the years he's been doing it. But yeah, I think they could use all the help they could get. Honestly, even though this team is as bad as it is, they are 1-5 in December in Miami with Tom Brady as a starter. You know how many road losses Brady has in December over the course of his career?
No.
I'll tell you. 7 total. 5 are in Miami.
You know how many losses he has at home in his career, period, in the regular season?
No.
19.
Yeah.
Do you know how many he has in Miami in the regular season?
9?
9.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tough.
That's tough.
I think he's 7-9, right? 7-9 lifetime down there.
Do you think the heat affects the way he plays?
I don't know if it affects the way he plays, but I think it affects everybody around him. And if you look at his numbers,
he's 4-5 in his career when it's 85 or above.
His quarterback rating, again, this is December specifically. I wrote this the other day. His rating in December for his career, when the Patriots are typically at their best, they're unbelievable in December, is 93-ish. Down in Miami in December, it's 73. His touchdown interception ratio in those games in December, Miami is 9-10. He's a different quarterback. They're a different team down there for whatever reason. These have not been good Dolphins teams. They're not. They're occasionally they are halfway competitive.
This just seems like before. I mean, you could go down there and say, okay, they got a wrecking crew in the front. Their front's really good. They got 3 big down guys. They got 4 linebackers that can run. Usually have 1 good corner and a hard hitting safety. And somehow that would get you through games down here. I sit here and I look at his defense across the board and I said, okay, there's Kiko Alonso and there's Howard. You got Cameron Wake there. He's still there on the edge, but he's still not the same guy he was 3 years ago. He's dealt with injuries. This is not a good Miami team by any stretch.
It's not the same. You're right. You could go all the way back. It's always felt
even
like they've had good
three
edge
games
guys.
In, you kicked their ass, you know, 8 weeks ago.
Right.
And I know Belichick said, well, 8 weeks ago is 8 weeks ago, and they look different and a lot better. I think they're a lot worse than they were.
I think they are, too. I think they're worse. Robert Quinn has been good on the opposite edge Wake. He's had a good year. Micah Fitzpatrick, the rookie out of Alabama, looks like he's a player. They used him in the slot week 4. Now he's playing on the outside. So maybe that's the guy who ends up getting Josh Gordon.
Or Edelman.
Howard can't play. Or Edelman. So they have a handful of talented players. The other thing that kills them is their special teams were really good early in the year. Remember we were talking about Jakeem Grant and Albert Wilson and these guys?
Yep.
Ryan Tannehill's yards per attempt was like around 7.5 or something because he had these little shuffle passes. And Brady's doing them now, too, to James White. These little touch passes with the back going in motion.
Yeah.
They had a couple of those go for like 80 yards and a touchdown the first 3 weeks of the season. Jakeem Grant's now hurt. He's out. So you lose that special teams threat. You lose that big play threat. They still have Wilson, who's a tough guy to bring down. But otherwise, there aren't a lot of threats really on either side of the ball that's Dolphins.
KC Wilson, right? He was a KC, right?
I believe so. Yeah.
All right. Phil Perry is with us. We're talking about Patriots and Dolphins coming up on Sunday with the 1 o'clock kick. We'll get to your calls as well. I want to talk a little bit about the Patriots running in this game. We will do that with Phil coming up. Sound good?
Love it.
Nice.
Good. Action update here is brought to you by the all new Sportsbook Rhode Island at Twin River and Tiverton Casino Hotels. The only places in New England you can legally bet on sports, powered by William Hill. Get the details at sportsbetri.com.
Now, a little- look at the numbers with the Action Update on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is Brent Musburger's Action Update for 98.5 The Sports Hub. Blink motion activated cameras can monitor your home, pets, and package deliveries while you're away during the holidays. Save 40% now at blinkprotect.com/holiday.
Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Just one more game in college football before bowl season begins. That's tomorrow in Philadelphia. Army is favored against Navy. The point spread, 7. There are also 4 FCS quarterfinals. Tonight, Weber State is favored by 6.5, hosting Maine. Tomorrow, North Dakota State is a 25.5-point favorite, hosting Colgate. South Dakota State, 7 points at Kennesaw State. And Eastern Washington, 9, hosting UC Davis. Basketball tonight, UMass is a 9-point underdog at Providence. From Las Vegas, I'm Ron Flatter. This has been your Action Update on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Slot to the near side, left for Brady on 2nd and 10. He fumbles the snap, loses the ball. It's down to the end zone. Touchdown, Miami.
Brady extends the hands, takes the snap. Tom looking right, firing right. The ball's going to be intercepted in the end zone. Thomas picked it off. The newest of Dolphins for the game-sealing interception with 2 seconds to go.
Brady stands, fires, intercepted at the 10-yard line. Picked off by Sam Madison.
Brady with a play fake under Ruck and Cameron Wake, and the ball comes loose as Brady goes down. Miami swarming over the quarterback.
Rolling, looking, and fires, but the ball is knocked out of his hands. This has been a horrendous day for the Patriots, who came into Miami hoping to clinch the AFC East.
Stork will snap it back. Brady has it. Dolphins come, and Brady has no chance. Down he goes. The Dolphins with, in essence, a jailbreak.
Stands in the pocket, then fire the football up the field, intercepted by Channing Crowder, and that's it. I don't believe this one. I really don't believe this one. The Patriots put up almost 500 yards offense and frittered away 10 points.
Phil Perry of NBC Sports Boston with us here on Zolak and Bertrand. Phil, I think the Patriots are going to want to run the ball a lot on Sunday.
I agree.
It's going to be like Steven Jackson game all over again, without the same motivations. Different circumstances. They're not trying to prove they can run. They just want to run. The more they run, the more their run game will be respected. And this game offers an opportunity to run all over the place because the Miami defense stinks.
They can't stop the run. That's what the circumstances are, what make it different from that Steven Jackson.
Oh, absolutely.
Game.
Very different.
As soon as you say that, people across the region are about to drive off a road.
Me too.
Because that was clearly what they wanted to do. Let's show how tough we are. Let's show how tough we can be. We're coming down the stretch here.
That's like no game plan for that game. Like, just, you know what, we're coming out 1st, 2nd, 3rd.
That was the plan. You know what I think? You know what I think was a similar plan? Was the plan they had at MetLife a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
They came out. They wanted to show they could run the ball. They just had more success doing it, so the results were much different.
I think it's more creative running, you know, too. I think it's going to be, you know, a little mix and matching of formations, personnel, motions. I think you have a better allotment of backs. I think you're better at the position. I mean,
deeper. You gave your backs 45 touches last week against the Vikings.
That helps your quarterback.
45.
And you got to keep your quarterback fresh in December, too.
And use a lot of those runs that you're talking about with the motions, the jet sweep stuff, and, you know, stuff that occupies those edge defenders. And so if you can run it more traditionally with Sony Michel, if you can do some of that edge stressing stuff with Rex Burkhead, you're running screens, that's part of the whole deal. You mix that stuff in. All of a sudden, you have a pretty diverse running game going into the playoffs when you feel like you're going to need it, whether you're at Gillette Stadium or you're at Kansas City and the weather's going to suck. That's what you want. That's the ideal moving forward if you're this Patriots offense.
617-779-0985. You want to talk to Phil about this upcoming game on Sunday for the Patriots. What can the Patriots prove in this game?
Can I just make a quick correction?
Yeah, you
first
can.
Before I forget.
What is it?
We talked a little bit about the kid Albert Wilson, sort of an explosive play threat for Miami this year. With Jakeem Grant. He's also hurt. He's also out.
Banged up.
So they have 11 guys on IR. They're just a disaster. It's kind of impressive they've won 6 games.
Yeah, and I mean, speaking of hurt too, what's the back and forth with the Brady Gronkowski on off the injury report? Like, what do you make of that now? They're cleared again.
Again, as far as I understand it, when it comes to,
I know it's walkthrough practices. I mean, but still,
I mean,
started getting no treatment.
Fridays are the walkthrough practices. As far as I know Wednesday, Thursday are still pretty normal.
They're glorified. I know. Monsters.
I get. I mean, it's late in the season now. I get that. But they're in pads. They were in pads the other day.
What can they prove in this game? How do they do it? Here's how I think they prove something Sunday.
Yeah, go ahead.
They be dominant on the road against a place and a team where they've had some issues over time.
It's the road factor.
Yeah, it is. Right. It's the road.
And this is as tough a road test as they have had historically. Almost, you know, I put it right up there with like going to Denver and playing well in Denver.
Yep.
Even when Denver stinks, you just have a hard time there. So if you can show that you can bring your own energy, you can figure that part out, because it's clear to us watching, right, that when they've been on the road, it feels like it's just been lackluster. And I talked to Devin McCourty about this week, and he said, you know, it's lackluster because we're not playing well. It's a real chicken and the egg sort of argument. Well, if we were playing well, then we would have energy, and you would see guys on the sidelines waving towels and jumping down, up and down and jumping all over each other and screaming and yelling. But we're not playing well, so it's hard to create that. It's hard to manufacture that.
And if we had energy, we'd be playing well.
Well, that's the thing. Right. So I think there's a balance there. I think you can come to the game with a little bit more juice. It just feels like they get out to such slow starts, especially on the road.
Flat.
Kicking game, just offense, flat. Defense, it's flat. And so I get it. Maybe you're waiting for somebody to make a play, but at some point you got to look at yourself, and maybe you have to be that guy to get the energy going for the rest of the team. You can't wait for you to start playing well. You got to come out of the gates a little bit better. So that's something to watch. And then obviously maintaining that through. That's the most difficult part about playing in Miami, because guys are hot. And talking to Ninkovich about it on the podcast this week, you're sucking down oxygen. Huh. You're on that visitor sideline, which in the last couple of years has been changed so that you're in the sun the entire game for 1 o'clock games.
Brutal.
It's brutal.
Smart, though, on their part.
You're unstrapping. Very it gets smart. To the point where, and I don't know if I've ever seen anybody do this, but Ninkovich said guys used to do this all the time. You're unstrapping your shoulder pads and your chest plate area where you strap in.
So you can
open up your lungs and breathe a little bit easier. So, I mean, it's a factor. It's a Belichick will never say it. The players on the team right now will never, like, really get into it, even though I think Brady kind of referenced, it's hot, it's humid, it's tough.
Well, Zoe said it's a different sun there.
Well, you're closer to the sun.
It's a different sun, though. He thinks.
Don't get me started on this. I had a real hard time trying to discuss the equator. And
with who?
With Ninkovich on the podcast. Just a couple of rockheads just having no idea what to say. Astronomy, astrology, geography.
The axis of the earth
just,
at different points in the year. They didn't get that?
It was a mess.
I'm surprised.
But that's what you get. It's just entertaining. It's two guys talking football, you know? It's good stuff. Right? You guys are all nodding.
Oh, hell yeah.
Sure is.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
Football.
Yeah.
Each other up.
All right. Joe is in Rhode Island. What's up, Joe?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Good. How are you?
Hey,
good.
Joe.
How are you, Zovac?
Good. How are you, Joe?
Good. I think the Patriots should mix it up a little bit with the run. That you guys brought up a good point, because they got a keen on the passing game, and they've been passing the ball really good the past few games.
Sure.
So I think they should run the ball, a couple of running backs in the backfield. And
so hold on. You want to start with the run and then mix in the play action, or then?
Mix the passing game, like short screen passes, and get to the wideouts and Gronkowski. I think that's what they should do.
Okay. Get the ball to the wideouts and Gronk and then a couple screens.
Yeah, but run the ball. Do the running game. Start out with the running game a little bit, and then let it open up, and then the passing game will come into play.
Well, they should be able
saying.
To do it.
I get what he's saying.
I heard Beatles drop the stat earlier in the show, 144 per game on the ground they're allowing.
Yep.
They're allowing five.
In the league.
When you go on a per carry basis, it's five per carry.
You can fall down for five against these guys.
I think they're 27th in the league on a per carry basis.
So does that mean we're primed for a big Sony Michel
should be a
career
big Sony Michel
type of day?
Yes. He's back home. He's a Florida kid.
Oh, good point.
Back home, he should be healthy. He had 17 carries.
Oh, you got James White, Dorsett.
Oh, James White's from down there too.
They both went to that high school.
You know
right
who else? You know who else is from down there? J.C. Jackson. J.C. Jackson. He and Sony Michel played each other in some Florida playoff years ago. J.C. Jackson was, I think, a receiver primarily at the time. That's pretty talented
Section
little game right there.
A
yeah,
state
right, exactly.
Championship title.
But he was telling me yesterday about six guys that were playing in that game are in the league now. A little bit different. A little bit different high school football season.
Oh, the level of play down there.
It's
really something. Really something. All right then.
So yeah, I think big day. Big day for Sony Michel is what I would tell you. Fantasy playoffs. Get him in there. Start him up. Fire it up, even though James Devlin vultured a couple touchdowns from him last week.
Yeah, but I think the whole Devlin package, too, I think that's going to be the one that's going to help you really down the stretch, especially when if the weather turns here at the end and you're going to be able to run the ball. I think they just run the ball better when Devlin's in there. You get the regular personnel out there. They go empty. His ability to catch, I think, creates some problems for you. And I think this, too, with the special teams. The special teams seem to have turned the corner a little bit over the last three
weeks. A little
bit.
I think the coverage is still kind of hot and cold.
Yeah.
They've gotten some better returns, I think, from Edelman and Patterson. Coverage is still a little hot and cold. I think they've been a little bit better lately, but I think they still got a little ways to go.
How hurt you think Edelman is?
I think he's pretty banged up.
I do,
he's
too.
He's not on the injury report, but everybody's a little banged up, right, at this point.
But the injury report is.
I mean, it's just shot after shot every week. It feels like there are three or four where he has a hard time getting up from. So,
and you think it's primarily the ankle still? Still that?
I think it's lower body. Yeah, you keep checking that left foot, left heel,
keeps jamming it.
Left ankle area.
He went over the middle. I think it was first quarter. It was early last week, and he got tackled from behind.
Yeah,
do you remember this play?
Yeah, those always look
hip,
like they're an injury
like
waiting to happen.
Down.
And it was like wrapped up around the legs. It was clean play. It was good tackle.
You go down like you got shot in
and
the
it
back
feels
by
like,
a sniper.
And as you watch the tackle, you're like, did his leg just get ripped out of like his hip socket?
Hip socket.
That's what it feels like or looks like when you're watching it. You're like, what just happened there? And he gets up limping, and he was slow, and you know he went to the sideline. He was fine. He stayed in the game, obviously, but just feels like he's not operating at 100% right
sure
now.
Sure not.
Wouldn't be a bad time
what,
to
what
maybe
is,
try
you,
to
what
dial
are you doing?
Back a little
what?
Bit.
What are you doing?
Nothing.
You're right. Talking about Edelman getting his hip socket ripped out. I was concerned on the broadcast.
Did you
He's
catch
a little
that?
Distracted.
Like the last 2 minutes?
Gary Quinn's here.
Right? Like what?
Put the shade down.
Are you
Gary
okay?
I'm great. Can't wait to eat.
Can we play this back at some point? You just hear what you just did for like 90 seconds there?
No.
I'm like, what? Is
I got so
wrong?
Excited when I saw Ted. I was like, all right.
Okay.
Like, you all haven't been caught in the minutes.
Right, Jim?
Yeah. You guys just sit here and not eat. Yeah.
What's going on?
Zolak and Bertrand continues.
Hey!
On 98.5, the Sports Hub. Listen to the podcast on the 98.5, the Sports Hub app.
Feels much better now. He's much more focused. He's ready to go.
My man, Ted, appreciate it. Dairy Queen, the big drop. Of course, the Bellingham is the mothership. That's a big place. Makes the ultimate burger. They didn't even sell that thing anymore. It just makes it.
I bet if you go in and ask for it, though, you can get it.
I think you get anything you want. They make it whatever.
They'll make an order.
Want.
They'll make it, you know, to your specifications.
Like that Brazier. Yeah, Brazier. Not like the Red Sox pitcher. Brazier.
The Brazier burger?
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's got the sign. That's the one with the grill.
Okay.
Brazier's?
Hot food.
What?
Brazier.
Oh. Okay.
Brazier.
All right, Phil Perry, NBC Sports Boston with us. Hi again, Phil.
Hi.
Nice to be back.
We have some news now on Xavien Howard. He's officially been ruled out.
Not unexpected.
How's the spot? That's going to go up. Good thing I got that sucker at 8.
Was that sort of known, though? I mean, we knew this.
It's expected, but.
Talked about it at 10 a.m. today.
Was it 8? 8 was the eight. Where it last was?
Zoe's taking the Pats to cover. Your thoughts, Phil?
I just can't. I can't do it. They'll win. I can't. 8 points
factor.
Or more now with
it's
Howard
that
out.
Sideline
officially.
In the sun. It's that heat.
Yeah.
It's just humidity.
Listen, same reasons we said last week that we couldn't pick the Vikings because the Patriots been so good at home in December.
Yeah.
They've been so bad in Miami in December, in Miami period.
It's fair.
I can't predict a blowout, even though on paper, that's exactly what it should be.
Phil, this week, there is more and more discussion now that Mike McCarthy has been fired about the possibility of Josh McDaniels going to Green Bay. There's always still the possibility of Josh McDaniels interviewing in Cleveland. There have now been reports that there are coaches who are assembling, you know.
Coaches, assemble!
Yeah, new news team coming together there to get ready to possibly be on a Josh McDaniels staff. He would not give even an inch on this, on the conference call this week. He sort of deflected.
However, You know what he says every time this comes up.
What does he say?
If it's in the cards.
If it's in the cards, I'm always interested. You know, it's essentially that's what it is.
He doesn't shut it down.
He does not shut it down. He wants to be a head coach. He has told us that multiple times. Back going all the way back to the spring, only a couple months after he left the Colts, quote unquote, at the altar.
What's your sense on this? Where's this going to go?
I think if the right opportunity is there, he could be gone this offseason. I really do. This has never been. It's never been so bad for McDaniels around the league that an owner who thought he would give his team a chance to win wouldn't think about hiring Josh McDaniels.
Do you think that Josh views the situation here a little differently than he did last January, to where all this stuff was coming to a head, the drama of it all, to where, wow, everybody's buried the hatchet, so to speak, around here. Everybody seems chummy. Maybe you know differently, but Bills doesn't really seem like he's near the end. I'm just going by based on what I see.
Yeah, I don't know how much has changed in that regard, because I know the stories were what the stories were, and specifically the Wickersham one, where he outright asked, is this going to be the last year where all three of these guys are together? Right. And when you ask that question, is this the last year that Kraft, Belichick, and Brady are going to be together? This was post-Garoppolo trade, so Brady wasn't going anywhere. Kraft obviously wasn't going anywhere. So Wickersham asking that question was, is this Belichick's last year in New England? That's essentially what that piece was. And so maybe there was something to that in terms of McDaniels looking at it at the end of the year and saying, okay, maybe Bill's got a year, maybe two left.
Like the feeling has changed there. Like the infighting has really
But I don't
subsided.
Know. Even last year, did any of us feel like Bill might be done after 2018? Or 2019?
I think it was.
Remember feeling that way.
No, I think, but I think it was. It was discussed. It was maybe. Could it be? Maybe it will be. What's the future? That's been brought up.
Nobody would.
It has been, but
I don't think anyone's jumping on it though and saying, I think this is
right. And
yeah, I get what you're saying.
It's such an unknown. Bill's future, his contract, the terms, all of that. That. I'm not sure how much the feelings inside the building have changed as far as that goes. I just think it was, for McDaniels, it wasn't about necessarily being the next head coach of the New England Patriots soon. It was about the Colts. Yeah. I think it was about being the head coach for the Colts and having legitimate, like, serious second guesses to the point where he blew the thing up. I think that's what it was.
So you're back in the Kern report that this is more about the Colts than it was about coming back here and helping them to save face or having a protection.
I think so.
I asked Bert the other day when he was filling in for Zoe to put a percentage on it. I said, give me a percentage. You know, how much of it was the Colts? How much of it was the Patriots? And he said, it's more the Colts, but it's about 60-40.
Yeah, I think
so. That both were
fair.
He said, you know, the Patriots were a factor in this. He said what he believes happened was Robert Kraft saw someone who was wavering a little bit, and he pounced on it. Mm. And he saw that in him, and he pounced on that opportunity to get him to stay because he saw that he was not sure about the Colts. He sort of felt out the situation, and then he worked it to his advantage and to the Patriots' advantage by keeping him here.
And if you're ownership
Robert's going to be thrilled if he leaves, but there's no way he didn't know it was a possibility because he's already trying to keep a guy from leaving.
Right. I think all that sounds fair to me, but I just would not be shocked at all. And I know Brady said something earlier this season, might have even been in the off season.
Who's Brady?
Brady?
Tom Brady.
Brady,
sir.
Brady.
Josh is under contract with us for a long time, and so we're really looking forward to having him here.
Mm.
Something to that effect. I think it was an EEI. Excuse me. An across the street interview. It was an EEI interview.
They're in our old building.
I think that's where it was.
We can't really say across the street.
Yeah, they're not across the street.
They're still saying it, but
BC High's across the street now.
Yeah.
No, Brady wasn't doing any interviews over there. BC
you know what they're good for? Nothing.
Sure is.
What, BC High?
I'm just kidding. I'm just giving Phil crap.
Did you go to BC High?
I did.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Is that still open?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, they're doing great. Thriving.
Thriving.
Yeah.
Thriving.
Ever since I left, especially.
Is that all boys?
It is. Yep. That's why.
And now they feel more comfortable. They feel more comfortable because the globe isn't looking over their shoulder from across the street. Huh. You know how the relationship there goes.
Relationship was fine.
Yeah.
Dan Shaughnessy spoke to my junior AP English class. Interesting.
No, not really.
Okay, well, then there you go.
Well,
we can just put a pin in right there.
I mean, people think like Dan's some sort of miserable D-bag, but if you know him, you know he's actually the opposite of
him. Oh, yeah.
He's actually a rather pleasant individual.
Yeah, he's a jovial individual.
Yeah, he's very helpful. He would definitely help someone who's, you know, want to hear about the career in journalism.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What, is there a problem?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Middays at 10, Zolak and Bertrand.
Bill's in Idaho today.
Are you driving through Idaho?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm in Idaho.
Are you driving?
Yes. You ever been out here?
No.
Zoe, have you ever been out here?
Zoe's not here.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Nice little fake promo we snuck in there.
There we go.
This hour of Zolak and Bertrand is brought to you by Stop and Shop, official supermarket of the New England Patriots. They have everything you need to make your football party a huge success this Sunday. Get details at stopandshop.com.
Rock and roll! Rah!
Hard Rock Stadium this weekend.
Yes, it is.
Here we go.
Yes, it is. By the way, starting today, fake promo Friday, 150 an hour from now.
Oh, my God.
Looking forward to it.
It's best of. It's the year ending fake promos for the month of December.
It's the year in
so
fake
it's
promos.
It's the best of the year. So this will be the first, what, January through April of this year? First 4 months?
January, February, and March, I believe.
So you're saying it's good content?
Oh,
there's content.
Oh,
not months. That it's good.
They had 39 of them, and then the first cut, they got it down to 23. Well, that's not good.
The second cut was brutal. You know, you just love them all, and you can't keep them all, and you got to make some hard decisions.
Zoe and I are not a part of that process. We are kept out. We are kept in the dark.
They keep me out of it
on that process.
It gets very heated. Very heated.
You've had time to think, Phil.
Yeah, Phil.
What's a better scenario? Number one seed with the Chiefs also getting a bye, or number two seed with the Texans getting a bye?
Number one seed this year for this team. It's the number one seed. You don't want to go on the road unless you show something here at the very end of the season in Miami and in Pittsburgh that you've turned things around on the road. You got to be at home as often as possible. So that means number one seed. Regardless of what's happening around
the conference.
You always
want the one.
I do agree with you.
It gives you some swagger,
but
too.
But isn't there an
argument? I understand why you asked the question.
Isn't there an argument, though, that being if they end up the number two seed to the Texans, it's not a terrible scenario?
It's a path of least resistance, maybe. Potentially with other teams upsetting you to where you can actually host an AFC game.
You might get better matchups.
And you might still host.
You
might still be at home. I 100% agree with you there that it is enticing, especially because you have the Chiefs play an extra game. Gives them an opportunity to maybe get upset or whatever, get beat up, get tired, you know? Like, so, yeah, make their road as hard as possible, because to me, that's really the one place you don't want to go. But at this point, I wouldn't want to go to Houston either, given what they've shown on the road and given the way Houston has played. That defense, that team is much healthier and much more complete than when you saw them in week one, which is rare. Usually, you have that kind of break in between contests between a certain team. They've lost people. Well, this time they've actually picked guys up, and they've gotten much better because of it.
RJ Bell will be with us coming up at 1 o'clock. Yeah. Phil Perry with us now. Let's get to some of your calls. Ken is in Lowell. Ken.
Hey, boys. How you doing?
Ken, doing well, Ken. What's up, man?
Perry.
Hi, Ken.
Yeah, I heard this morning you guys, somebody called and said that you should be taking the job at the Cleveland Browns.
Excellent. Yes.
All right, and then you were naming off, like, the staff that you would have going on there.
Are you applying for a job?
Yeah, I want the press secretary.
Okay, so you want to be head of PR.
Yeah, and
what do you think your qualifications are for the job? What would make you a good press secretary?
He's already been to Turkey. What are you talking about?
That's right. You know, and plus, you know how Patricia, he told off that reporter. He says, you know, you take your legs down off the thing when you ask me questions.
Yeah,
show
some respect.
Exactly. And like, if I was up there in the podium, I'd say, hey, listen, man, stand up and take your hat off when you address me. Actually, I say, stand up and take your beep and hat off when you talk to me.
Yeah.
All right.
That's,
and then,
really,
yeah, Ken. Okay, Ken from Lowell, what about this? What about that?
Well, you wouldn't be known as Ken from Lowell. You'd be the Ken.
Is that?
Yeah, you mean you'd have a new title. You wouldn't be Ken from Lowell. You'd be Ken, head of PR.
I'd be Mr. Ken from Lowell.
Mr. Ken from Lowell, head of PR. That's a long title.
Okay, we can redact that a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, would you reside in Cleveland? Would you drive to Cleveland? Yeah, would you fly there back and forth?
Hell no, I just take the train. I mean, how far is it from Albany? It's only like what, an hour and a half?
How you get Albany?
2 hours.
What's in Albany?
How are you? What the hell's in Albany?
How are you getting to Albany?
No, I mean it's South Station to Albany, Albany to Cleveland, Cleveland to wherever.
Yeah, but you just left.
I mean, what is wrong with you guys?
You totally eliminated the Boston.
How do you not have the train schedules memorized?
Do I need to lay this out for you?
Do you go to Albany frequently?
He's never been on a train.
You've been to that Albany train station.
I ride Amtrak because I use up all my air miles. I can't get on a plane anymore.
Because of the air miles or because of some other reason?
No, because, I mean, I had 3 close calls on the airplane, plus I used to jump out of them, and, you know, I'm tired. I think, you know, unless it's absolutely necessary, I don't want to fly on them anymore.
We just peeled another layer off the onion.
Were you a
Ranger?
Were you a no-fly list?
No, just regular airborne.
Okay. Airborne.
Wow. But anyway.
Wait, what, 101st? What were you?
No, 82nd. But
what did that feel like? Your first time you ever jumped out of a plane, like that first step. That's got to be a doozy.
Yeah. Well, I had a few in me before I went, so it was good. All right. I did it.
Hammered jumping out of a plane.
All right.
Ken, did you have close calls on commercial flights or?
Oh yeah, I did. Yeah, I did.
Meaning what?
First time I flew to Istanbul, the plane started smoking. And this was right flying out of JFK. I mean, we weren't even 1,000 feet in the air, and there's smoke coming into the cockpit, but we kept on going to Geneva.
Were you
just somebody at the convention? Didn't they do that convention there?
No. That's way before I was born. But then there was another time I was flying at the Schiphol, and we got a wind draft just when we were coming in for landing, about 100 feet off the ground. And then when we landed, it was like a ping pong. You know, what are those super balls? You know,
stuck it.
And beep, bam, bam, boom, 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 boom,
oh,
boom, boom.
Right.
And then there was one when I was flying the Kodiak to Anchorage, and my coffee was like up in the air while my cup was still down here or something. You know.
Wow.
Like zero gravity almost.
You ever seen a bear?
Exactly.
You ever seen a bear?
Yeah, a couple of them. Yeah.
Of course. Ken, that's great talking to you.
I need
get
more.
To my question, you.
Sorry, Ken.
What's your question?
All right, you were talking about also the Miami game.
Oh yeah.
Patriots Miami. Uh-huh. All right. This is what I want to say, and this is what I expect. I expect the special teams to come through, and because you know how every team, every week a unit step. Like last week was the defense. The week before was the offense. And the week before, well, this week it's going to be the special teams. That's the way I expect it to transpire.
Wouldn't be a bad week for that. They could use the special teams game. They have one in Chicago. Help them win that game, Ken. I think they're due for a good special teams game, to be honest with you.
Sure is.
Great call. We learned a lot there.
He is incredible.
He really is.
He really is.
He's seen a lot.
It's never boring with that guy.
He's done them, seen a lot.
Never boring.
I wonder if he flown on the planes. Remember when you, like, a long time ago, like Eastern Air, you had the handset, but it had the little square ashtray.
Oh, the ashtray?
Flipped up.
Okay.
I'm wondering if that's why the plane was smoking that one time to Istanbul. Okay.
When did they ban smoking on airplanes?
I'm
going to say, like, mid to late 80s.
When did we ever think it would be good to smoke on an airplane?
Domestic flights.
88.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sucker up.
Okay,
here.
Next time Ken calls, let's focus in our questioning on a couple of areas.
Okay,
we can either do adventures at sea, natural disasters, or romance.
Ooh,
I want to do adventures at sea.
I do
something
too.
Tells me he's been on a couple of close calls.
Yeah.
He
knows where the nukes are or something.
I mean, we just found out today that he was a military man.
Jumping out of planes.
Right. 82nd Airborne.
No, it wasn't a Ranger. It was just Airborne.
Yeah, just throwing back a couple 82nd, nips.
82nd Airborne.
Casually mix that in.
Let me just pound these nips in my pocket, and I'll just jump out the plane.
And it sounds like his most dangerous experiences in the air have come via commercial flights.
I mean, they Kodiak to Anchorage. I don't know. I don't know if that's commercial. That's I don't know if that was.
They powered through from JFK to Geneva.
His coffee was just
filling the cockpit.
His coffee was floating in the air like he was in zero gravity because the plane was dropping at such a precipitous rate.
I would think, like, first time I ever talked to him, and like the more and more he would call the show, that he was such a townie that he never ever left Lowell.
Oh no,
this I mean, like, he's seen the world, man.
Over the world.
He is a world traveler.
So what's it going to be? Adventures at sea.
And
if
I like that idea.
And if that craps out, we'll go natural.
What
disaster.
Are the odds he's been to South America?
Strong to quite strong.
Strong to quite good. Strong, but
he's probably got something on Incas.
Travel-wise, I don't know. I'd rather focus in on submarine adventures or tornadoes.
What years do you think he was jumping out of planes?
I don't want to know.
Late 60s?
Honestly, I don't even want to know.
Late 60s, 70s?
I don't want to know. I don't want to know how old he is. I just want to hear stories. Yeah. I don't need to know the time frame.
But this is how you get this. This is how you draw the stories.
You don't have to. You don't have to know those details. Do you believe Ken when he tells you these stories?
Yes.
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 The
most authentic guy we've got going.
Jim looks it up, says legit.
Of course he is. Yeah. Of course he is.
I'll see you. I'll see you in Miami.
Way to end on a high note.
Hey, great to see you guys. A lot of fun, as always.
Football Fix coming up tonight on NBC Sports.
Big show.
Boston.
Big show.
Who's on that?
6 o'clock.
It's you, it's me, and who else?
I believe Giles is back in the
she's
the host
gone,
chair
like, all month.
Yeah,
right?
She's. I think Danielle is still out. Yes,
she's on a long.
So Beetle Giles
hiatus.
Perry, after a after 1 week off from Beetle, be happy to have him back.
Hell of a show lined up,
big time. A lot
6 o'clock, followed by that? Early edition with yes, Tangway. Yes, that's all coming up tonight on NBC Sports Boston. Cheers. Thank you, Phil. Appreciate your
See
time.
Phil.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.